Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
As you know, we're continuing on in Love University. Isn't that cute? Love you. It has so many meanings. So I did not come up with that logo. People much cooler than I did came up with that. But we're going to be really using this time as a place where we understand that we want to learn to love. We got this from the phrase that Gino Olson talked about when he was speaking this summer about the church should be a love university where we have diverse groups of people and we learn to love people different than ourselves and we learn how to love so we can continue that throughout our life. And so we thought about that and we thought, yeah, this is great. I mean, we have the perfect teacher, the Holy Spirit, to communicate to us in a way that we can get and understand. And so we've talked about this assignment is really during, show up at class, show up on Sunday morning, and we're going to kind of keep it more or less a class, and then also that you begin just being very much teachable through your week as you interact. We begin thinking about how does this work in this conversation with my wife or my husband or my kids or my neighbor or whatever. How does this work? And so one thing that we thought we would do here is have a place that you could ask questions. We know we can't, I'm not quite skilled enough to have you just raise your hand and answer your questions on the spot. You wouldn't want that because I wouldn't come up with very good answers. But we would like to know questions you might have about this. And so I want you to you can go on your phone and you can look at vcclife.org/ask, or you can just go right in through the Sunday morning link and go right into there and you'll see a place that you can just ask a question. And you can even put your name on or not put your name on. We just want to, if it's a good question, we'll want to bring that into our teachings during the series. And so any question you have, you know, if you get bored with me talking up here, just go to VCC Life, ask a question. Or if you have a question that comes to mind, look there. Or later on the week, just put it in there and we'll have a place that we're going to be answering these questions as we go through the series. And so, so last week we talked about, if you don't remember, why we need to love as followers of Jesus. And this week, we're going to be talking about understanding how we do this. I mean, we're at a spot where, you know, you and I were made in God's image, and we have this characteristic at our heart. We've been made in His image, and so we have love in us. We know what love feels like. We understand that's even the answer, that our desire to love as God loves. And so as we look at this, is that what we have to realize, though, is that when we have this desire to love, but then how do we go about doing it, right? You know, we've been born in this world that we're kind of in the stream of sin and temptation and our flesh and our sinful nature. And so we can see pretty clearly how good it is to love. And we say, you know, even the world sees that. That's what we need is more love. But we can see that within us, but we also see this distortionness, this place of how easy it is not to love, how that almost is our natural default. It's so easy to say that word or to do that, to judge that person or to treat people harshly. It just comes pretty natural. And so we're in this spot where we understand as far as Jesus that we've been transformed, we've been forgiven, and we've been loved by God, and we've been given His Holy Spirit. It says we're a new creation. And I remember when I was a Christian, that was one thing I noticed that was really unique, is that the time before I say yes to Jesus, even the night before, and that next day, because I'd experienced Jesus' love, I began actually thinking I could love people. And I, quite honestly, that sounds terrible, but I never thought that before. I just thought, how do I love people to get things back? I never thought about just loving people. And so then I started reading the Bible, and I thought, man, you don't have to be a theologian to get this. This is like everywhere. Christians, that's what you're supposed to do is love. And so I found myself in a position where I thought, okay, this should just happen, right? I should just love. And I had a desire to love, and I could see myself loving a little bit more. But here's the problem that came about is I began finding myself just deciding I was going to love anything that needed loved, right? And so whenever there was a need, I thought, okay, I know what my answer is. Love this person, right? And after a while, after a few years, I thought, there's a lot of need out there. I'm kind of tired. You guys know that one? Just ask people how they're doing. You got plenty to talk about, you know, plenty to love right there. And I began just kind of going everywhere I went. And I didn't realize it, but I was wearing down. I was becoming cynical and exhausted. And I remember there's this one point where I had a friend of mine, his name was Dave, and he had a mental breakdown. He's in our Bible study. And I'm a young kid, and I decide I need to go see him. And I had to wait till I got off work. It was dark, and he was at the Kansas State Hospital, which was closed for abuse, by the way, because it was a horrible place. And he was put in this one ward, and it took me forever to find out where he was. And when I went to the door, they were shocked. I don't think they'd ever seen a visitor, honestly. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have policy. And I just talked my way in to the middle of this group of people. And I remember people just began coming up to me to touch me, get near me. And I mean, the pain level of this place was over the top. And I remember saying to God, I got to stop doing this. This is too hard. I've reached my limit. I actually reached my limit a long time ago. I just didn't know it, right? And I found myself in this position of like, okay, great. I'm supposed to love. How do I do that? Like, where do I get that? And what I didn't understand is what we're going to talk about today, that love is a spiritual fruit. It's something that comes through you from God. And I didn't quite grasp that at the time. Now, we're going to talk in Galatians 5. And the Galatians were at a spot where Paul was talking to them, and I'm trying to get this thing to not tick as much. Hang on a second. You guys hear that ticking? The people who are really sensitive to sound are really annoyed by that. The rest of you don't even hear it. But, all right, so I'm going to try to get this ticking to stop. All right. And so, where was I at? Oh, yeah, Galatians. So Galatians, they were kind of in the same, they're in a tough spot. Because the Galatians were, Paul was talking to them, and what he said was, now, the Galatians, you have to understand, as they came to Jesus in this freedom in Christ, and they began living in this, and then after a while, they started going back to living under the law. They're trying to accomplish what they should do through the law, and through their own human effort, and through their flesh. And when Paul says, he says, I'm astonished that you've deserted the gospel of grace for no gospel at all. Are you so foolish? Beginning by means of the Spirit. And how did you come to Jesus? Was it about you? Was it through you? No, it was through the Holy Spirit. Now you're trying to finish by means of the flesh. He says that you died to the law so you might live to God. You were crucified to Christ. You no longer live, but Christ lives in you. And as I looked at this, I thought, this is a really good section of Scripture to help us understand what we mean by that love is this fruit that comes and what spiritual fruit is. And so as we go through this, it's great teaching lessons to help us understand what's going on inside of us, this place of what our natural human nature is, and then what the Spirit is, and how do we yield to that. And so in Galatians 5, starting in verse 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Paul starts out by saying, wait a second, you're losing your freedom. You're becoming enslaved. Don't lose it, your freedom. You know, and don't use your freedom to indulge in going back in the place of trusting in your human nature to give you the power that you need to do what God has asked you to do. Don't return to following rules and trying to think that your own efforts are going to spiritually mature you. And I noticed that Paul, these Galatians, had to start out with getting back to like, what are we after here? And so he takes them right back, like we talked about last week, is everything's fulfilled in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what they were missing. They were drifting away. They were getting all this law and legalism, but they were missing the very heart. And that's what the law does to you. And when we try to follow by our flesh, it takes us down roads in which they become destructive. And so Paul takes them back to, this is how you know you're fulfilling God's purpose. We can't say that enough. If you understand, it's like, how do I know if I'm fulfilling my purpose? You're looking, am I loving God to greater capacity, and am I loving others to greater capacity? And so then Paul goes on and he begins contrasting this thing of the flesh, our human sinful nature, that we often want to trust in or go back to, and in the spirit. So it starts out by saying this. He goes, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Starting with verse 17, what he's showing there is that you have to understand, Galatians, you have to understand, VCC people, you have to understand that there is this conflict going on. You guys know that conflict? Of your natural desires just leaning all the way to how easy it is to gratify the flesh. There's that's there. And wanting to go back to not intimate relationship with God and vulnerability with God, but going back to just a set of rules that we live by. Right? This is always the temptation that we have to substitute our relationship and freedom of Christ. And so it starts describing this place of enslaving power when we begin gratifying the flesh. And then he goes on to this place, but in what I think was really interesting, in verse 16, there's this spiritual truth. Okay, so the Galatians are kind of stuck. They're getting enslaved by their flesh. They're giving themselves, and they're losing their freedom. They're not loving people because they're going that direction. And as you guys know, as you struggle with things, you know, of your sinful nature, right? And you're saying, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to quit doing this. Sometimes we think, what I need to do is try a lot harder, right? I need to turn over a few new leaves. I need to make a determination and beat myself up more so I can do this thing. And what he's saying, no, that's not the answer. And verse 16 gives us the answer. Now, this is one of the key verses that we're going to talk about. And he says, so walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the way that you get free is not by stopping doing the things you shouldn't do. It's by choosing to move from trusting in your flesh and your own power to walking by the Spirit. All right? And then he goes on and he explains this contrast. And he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft or sorcery, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he goes to this list of all these things that become natural. Your natural sinful nature just starts leaning you this direction. They're just very appealing to you. They seem like the normal thing to do. That's our sinful nature. And now we have that sinful nature has been crucified, but that's our sinful nature. And so as we look at this, we start wanting to go back towards that, right? You know, and you can look at those things and you can just say, well, yeah, I always look at this. Here's what I always do. I remember I looked at this and I thought, I didn't struggle with orgies. That's good. I'll find all the things that you don't do. But you look at a few other ones, you think, oh, yeah, jealousy, fits of race, discord, hatred. There's these places. And as we get honest with these things within ourselves, right, we can turn the news and say, all those people who are just giving themselves over to their flesh, it's terrible. Look at the ugliness of rape and these war and these things that are going on. But when we get really honest, we understand, oh, man, this is something that if I give myself to, it will keep going. That will enslave me to a point I can't get free of it. And so you can look at those things and be very clear of that, all those particular areas. And so, I mean, even like debauchery, you say, what's that mean? I'm not sure about debauchery. Debauchery is this place where you just start giving over to your urges and not caring about anybody and just doing whatever you want, right? Which America calls freedom, right? So as you look at that, you can go to that list and you can say, wow. And you can pick all that, the world that has all the things. But when you get really honest, you understand this is what happens when you trust within your sinful nature and begin giving yourself and gratifying. And it's what enslaves you. Now, then he says, but let me show you what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. He goes on to say this. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, feel the difference in these two contrasts between the flesh and spirit, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or some translations, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh and its passions and desire. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And saying, because of what Christ has done, you have been, if you follow or follow Jesus, if you've received Jesus into your life, you've received the Holy Spirit, and you no longer have to say yes to your flesh and its desires. You can say no. He's given us that power to do so. And the way that we don't go down the road of where the flesh is not by gritting our teeth and saying, I'm not going to do it anymore. It's by choosing something else that we give ourselves to and we yield ourselves to and we walk in and we walk by the Spirit. We will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, you know, what I want to do is I want us to go through and since this is a classroom, right? Since it's Love University and we're trying to have classes, I want to get really practical this morning. Now that we have the broader picture of this battle that we're in, saying, you know, how do you actually do that? How do you walk by the Spirit? And I want to talk about that. And I want to start out with kind of like broader understandings that I think will be helpful to you. And then I want to go into some kind of practical ways that I think will help you take that step in saying yes to the Spirit, right? So the first thing I want to talk about is this place of what does it mean to walk by the Spirit and what is it that we need to understand? And here there's a few things that I think we need to understand. All right. If you want to walk by the Spirit and you want to love the way God loves and have it come through you as you walk by the Spirit and have that fruit, I say the first thing you understand is that your love will flow out of your relationship with God. It's real important to understand this. God deeply desires to have an ever-deepening relationship with everybody here. That is over and over clearly laid out. He wants to be someone who is in all of our life for the rest of our life into eternity. He wants to be connected to us. He wants to have us love him and him love us, and he wants that relationship. And that is where everything flows out of. That is the way it's designed to be. As we are dependent upon God, then in that spot, we find out and we discover who we are. You know, when I was thinking about this, I had this memory of when my girls were real small. And, you know, raising kids is crazy, right? There's many times like I was so exhausted and didn't use these examples. The example I want to use is when one of my girls was a little bit fussy and I grabbed them and they begin settling down and laying on my chest and looking up at me, and there's this feeling of them depending on me that allowed them to be in their right spot and flourish, and I was flourishing, right? And in this relationship with Jesus, this relationship with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we are in a spot in which that we need to be dependent. You know, we have to understand that God is not looking for you to grow up so you can get out of the house. You know, like, teach David to be independent so I can quit being in all this stuff with him. No, that is not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is that God wants to be with me. He wants me to grow in dependence and trust in everything to greater and greater degrees. And it's this place that he is wanting me to be released in that, into the freedom to be who I am, and allow him to fill me with his love and allow me to express that love to other people. You know, we have that song, Make Me a Vessel. Make me an offering. This place, we're designed to be vessels, and that's different than a conduit. A conduit is like whoosh through you, right? A vessel is something that contains, and out of the overflow it comes. And it's very important to do that, because understand that this is the relational part. You know, he doesn't just want to make you a conduit, which is pretty cool if that would be the case. He actually wants you to know him and be in relationship with him. And out of that relationship and that love that you're experiencing, he loves you. His love comes through you to other people as well. The second is this. You are designed, understand that you have the Holy Spirit and you are designed to love. If you know Jesus, he has given you his Holy Spirit to dwell within you. And your design is to love. Whenever you have something that you're doing that is your design for, it brings fulfillment and life. When you're doing the opposite of what you're designed for, it brings death and exhaustion. You're designed to love. And God wants his fruit of his Spirit to come out of you, and he wants you to experience his love, and he wants to express his love through you. You know, we are in a day where everybody's trying to find out their particular purpose, which is great. You know, I'm this, I'm that. Your ultimate purpose above anything you do is to love God and love others. And once you get that being your ultimate purpose, then lots of other things. He loves you through all kinds of other ways of showing who you are and releasing you in the things and gifting you have. But God, you have his Holy Spirit and you're made for this. Understand that God's Spirit, what God's Spirit and what the flesh produce. In this place of kind of learning, how is it that I actually walk by the Spirit is, it's really good to know what you're going for. Right? The reason that he lays out these two things, of the deeds of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, is because he wants us to know it. Like, that makes us to catch on to it, right? And there's this place in which that we want to make sure that, you know, when we look at those things, he wants us to understand what they both produce. So when you find yourself in that spot that you're speaking things that are bringing disunity, are harming, are hurting, you can say, oh, I don't know how to not do this, but I know this isn't the right direction, right? But you also know what God's wanting you to do. You're wanting to understand this place of understanding what it is that produces this peace and this patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, right? So it's real important to know what it's not, following the Spirit, and what it is to follow the Spirit. And that'll allow you to say, God, this is what I'm praying for. This is what I want to look at in my life. This is how I evaluate it, right? You know, I think that there's this contrast, right, is that you just want to get into spots where you realize that there's this battle and you're thinking, I want to understand that. I want to bring peace. I don't want to bring fear and anxiety in the presence I bring to people. I want God to come through and show his kindness. I don't want my flesh to harm people. I want my pain and my hurt, you know, in my pain and hurt, I want to make sure I give this to God and let him show me how do I live in this and still bring the fruit of his spirit in the middle of that. You know, when you kind of understand that when you're being prompted to serve, you can say, oh, I know this is the Holy Spirit because this is where it's leading me to. The words that build up and then in contrast to the words that tear down. And you should begin evaluating, saying, okay, God, I want to be led by your spirit. Right? And then understand that your flesh is in conflict with your spirit. Right? I've been in this a long time. I always, if I'm not following the Spirit, I start drifting towards my flesh just like that. I've been in a long time. And it'll always be there. It'll always be easy to turn to an idol. It'll always be easy to make a judgmental statement or harshness or just to turn to sexual immorality. It's always easy. It's always there. And understand that, you know, as a new Christian, I just thought this should just flow. But what it means, you have to learn it. You have to actually learn how that the disciples had to learn it, so we got to learn it. How do you listen to the Holy Spirit and how do you respond to that and have fruit come out of your life? All right. So, practical, again. When I say walk by the Spirit, what does that mean? Like, I know how to do this, but how do I walk by the Spirit? How do I live in a way that's directing who I am and what I do and how I feel about things? And I think one of the best things about that is the one way you know that is it starts with what Paul talks about in this passage. Serve one another humbly in love. This is your starting point. You're choosing to not raise yourself up above, but choose to put yourself on the same place as other people. And then this is so over, it's talked about so much in our culture, but talk about an amazing verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is one of the best ways of asking God, what do I do here? You think, what is love here? What if I was in their place, what would be love in this place if I'm putting myself in their place? Even if that person's done something really horrible, if I did something really horrible, how would I want someone to respond to that to me, right? So asking that question, it's so simple, but it's so helpful. And then the other thing I'd say when you're trying to learn to walk by the Spirit is that our steps turn into walking. In other words, many times we don't realize that the very smallest steps we take are huge in teaching us how to walk in the Spirit. And so that point in which that you're in conflict with your spouse or your neighbor or your friend or your parents, you know, and you begin thinking, how do I do this? That choice in that moment of how you listen to the Holy Spirit and choose in that moment is huge. It's not like later when I get to church. It's then. Understand that these places that you're around, these people that you're interacting with, you know, you're basically looking at them and saying, now, God, how do I choose to love here? Now, the other thing I'd say in that is, and I want to say this through the whole series, is you will learn by these small choices, and then as what happens is, as you make them, and all of a sudden, your conversation with your spouse brings life instead of turning into this right here, or a situation where you grind on it, you feel freedom, you think, I like this, I want to try that again. And you learn that it always is better as you take that one step which turns into a walk. And the final thing I want you to say is this, is understand that you don't do this alone. You know, what I didn't understand when I was in the Kansas State Hospital was that I just forgot to bring God with me. He may not have told me even to go there. That was the first thing. But even though I was there, I thought, I wished he was with me. And he was, but I didn't understand that. He stays with us in everything. And he teaches us in the moments, in the next moment, in the next moment. And so when he teaches you, understand that he has something to show you. He's wanting you to recognize that every person is an opportunity, right? He loves to teach us, and how he teaches it will be in your interactions. So take any interaction you have, he wants to teach you in that one, right? So what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you an invitation, but then I want to just take about 2 minutes before the worship team comes up and us do a little exercise. The invitation is going to be very classroom-ish. All right, memorize Galatians 5, some of you already have, 22 and 23, so you've already done your assignment. You can memorize something else if you already haven't memorized. Moving others towards Jesus. With Galatians 5, 22 through 23 in mind, yield to the Holy Spirit, desiring God's love to come through you as you interact with others. Just begin sticking it on your dashboard, your window, and just begin saying, God, I want the fruit of the Spirit to come through me in this situation. Holy Spirit, show me how to do that, how to yield to you.